There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
For the all-time leading rusher for the Niners, Stephon Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Handoff Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle, across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson gets a shoulder square.
Watch out! He's got getting away from the clock speed. Touchdown!
Welcome in to episode 23 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. If you did not know, South Harmon is sponsored by Manscaped. Manscaped, you can get 20% off of your order of any personal grooming products. All you need to do is use the promo code SHFF20 at checkout. You'll get 20% off and you'll get free shipping on your order. Head over to Manscaped and take advantage of this exclusive offer. NFL season has arrived, and that's going to change some things about this show. I'm going to be focusing a lot more on individual players this upcoming season, trying to find diamonds in the rough and how I am identifying them. So, I know I've mentioned in the past how I try to be player agnostic, but when we get into the season, there becomes certain scenarios where I need to focus in on specific players. I'm still going to be approaching how I identify those players from more of a player agnostic point of view, but I am going to be talking about specific players, why they fit certain strategies, and things that are a little bit more actionable directly for your teams at the moment that I'm saying them. This is because, obviously, we're during the season. Points are being scored. You don't want to spend a bunch of time diving necessarily through all the theory. If at any point you have any questions about why I'm making certain decisions, why I'm talking about the things I'm talking about, feel free to talk to me. Tweet at me at Dynasty Koopa. Talk to me on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. And I will totally be open to either talking to you about it there, or maybe it's something that I'll talk about on my next episode. This episode, I wanted to go through the week one depth charts that were being released for every team and talk through some things that are surprising for each depth chart. I'm not going to be talking about the things that we are already expecting, like, oh, this guy's the wide receiver one. But I will bring up if somebody is in a different spot than I thought they were, or than the community maybe necessarily thinks. At the end of the episode, I'll also be including a tight ends don't matter segment, so stick around for that if you want to be playing that strategy this year and you are looking for who I am picking to start in my team's week one. So let's get into these depth charts. The first depth chart I looked at was the Cincinnati Bengals. The only surprising thing here was that Chase Brown was listed as the number one kickoff returner. I was not necessarily expecting that to be the case. I was expecting Travion Williams to be the number one kickoff returner, and he is the number two. But Chase Brown being the number one in those kickoff return leagues, it'd have a lot more value than you were necessarily expecting at the start of the season. For the Buffalo Bills, right around the roster cutdown deadline, they traded for Brandon Codrington. So he's a cornerback, but he is immediately coming in as both their kickoff and their punt returner. So if you have a league that has defensive players and has large points for kickoff and punt returns, this is somebody you might want to go and pick up because he's not somebody that you were expecting beforehand because he was on the Jets prior to this. For the Miami Dolphins, they did something interesting with their first depth chart. They created a new position that they're calling F, And that F is referring to more of a flex position between fullback and tight end. So on their depth chart, they have this F position, with the first string being Alex Ingold, or their normal fullback, second position being Jonnu Smith, and third being Tanner Connor. Then they had a separate position that was tight end, and they had Durham Smythe and Julian Hill as the one and two there. Now, we keep talking about Jonnu Smith like he's going to be really good in this Miami offense, and the fact that he's listed as the backup on this F position is actually really worrying to me. I would think that they would put him as the first string if they were fully expecting him to have that huge role, but he's not listed as a first string. The fact that he's behind Alex Ingold is actually making me really worried, because we saw last year Alex Ingold end up lining up at the tight end here and there. Like, he was essentially that true F position for them. And now they have Alex Ingold above Jonnu Smith, and then you have Durham Smythe as the starting tight end. And I think that more fits with potentially how they're looking at using their tight end position. We've seen in the past they like to use their tight ends to block. They don't run as many routes, and they don't get as many passes thrown to them. Well, Durham Smythe fits that perfectly. He is that blocking tight end. Jonnu Smith is a little bit more of a receiver, and that's kind of what they were using Alex Ingold at. I was always surprised at how many routes he ended up running, especially out of essentially, like, not the line, but that position that's like right next to the edge of the line, one step back. He would run a lot of like flat routes out of there and things like that. And I really think that this is giving us a preview into that Jonnu Smith may not be as good as we thought. That the Miami Dolphins just are not going to use him as much of a receiver. And we might not want to be invested in that Miami tight end room despite the upgrades that it seemingly got. Moving on to the Browns, the only surprise was that their kick returner is Pierre Strong Jr. So everyone that was going ahead and picking him up, because he is the backup running back there right now, he's also your kick returner. So you're going to get a big bonus out of him if you have those kick return leagues and you manage to get him in those. The Steelers, they have two kick returners listed. They have Cordarrelle Patterson, and then their second one is Jaylen Warren. So I have talked about how a lot of teams are probably going to go with this two kick returner strategy, because then you can have two guys moving while the ball is in the air. And the fact that Jaylen Warren is listed as the second kick returner is a good sign if you have him in kick return leagues. He's probably still going to be the same amount of running back production as last year, but if he's able to get extra off the kick returns, it probably won't be as much as Cordarrelle Patterson. Cordarrelle Patterson's a really good kick returner. He's listed as the one for a reason. But if he even gets one kick return a game, that's going to be some extra points that you weren't expecting initially. For the Texans, if you're looking for deep dives on kick returners and punt returners, you have Steven Sims as the punt returner, and then he's the number two kick returner behind Damian Pierce. So that is somebody to keep an eye out for, especially if you have these really deep leagues. He's probably available in those sorts of leagues. The Colts have both Adonai Mitchell and Alec Pierce in the same wide receiver spot. So they have Michael Pittman as one outside wide receiver. They have Josh Downs as their slot wide receiver. But Adonai Mitchell and Alec Pierce are basically co-starters. I think that might be a situation of they are going to end up splitting time from each other. But the fact that Josh Downs is in a separate spot and still listed as a starter makes me think that Josh Downs is not going to see as much of an impact from this battle from Adonai Mitchell and Alec Pierce. We saw last year Alec Pierce have something absurd, like a 94% snap share or something like that. And I can see that coming down a lot from him, and that he loses a lot of those snaps to Adonai Mitchell. The important thing to watch is going to be how many snaps does Alec Pierce take from Adonai Mitchell for what we're expecting Adonai Mitchell to be. We know they really like Alec Pierce there in Indianapolis, and so Adonai Mitchell, he might be hampered a little bit on his ceiling, because it looks to me like Adonai Mitchell's not going to be competing with Josh Downs for snaps, that Josh Downs is coming in on the same plays that he would normally come in on. They aren't going to substitute in Adonai Mitchell and take out Downs near as often as they will take out Alec Pierce. And also, the Colts kick returner is Anthony Gould, so that was somebody that just way back when I did my kick returner episode, he's a rookie, I didn't know about him. So, Titans kick returners and punt returners is Jaquan Jackson. He's a wide receiver that is probably on most of your waiver wires, so if you have a kick return, punt return league, guy to look out for. The Titans, they did something interesting with their tight end one. They made Chig Okonkwo and Josh Wiley co-starters. Chig Okonkwo, we've kind of seen him outside of that explosion that he had towards the end of the season of 2 years ago. He hasn't really done too much. And Josh Wiley was coming on a little bit towards the end of last season, and he's closer to a more traditional tight end. So we might be seeing Josh Wiley slowly take over for Chig Okonkwo, maybe be that tight end that is on the field most of the time, and Chig is more of that pass-catching tight end, which is going to hamper the ceiling that you're going to get out of Chig Okonkwo. And so Josh Wiley might be even more viable in those kinds of leagues where you have a really high tight end premium, or maybe you start a bunch of tight ends. The Chiefs kick returner is Mecole Hardman, so that's just something to keep an eye out for. Obviously, he's not going to have as much of a role in the wide receiver room, but it is good to know that he's their listed kick returner. The Raiders, I predicted that their kick returner would be Trey Tucker, but in this case, they have not even listed him on their kick return depth chart, and instead their primary kick returner is Amir Abdullah. So Amir Abdullah, we also think that he has lost out on the running back spot is there, and that we're probably looking at the Dylan Lobb situation. And if that is the case, then unfortunately Amir Abdullah's, he's not going to be that useful unless you have an insane kick return league, just because he's only doing the kick returns. Trey Tucker still gives you a little bit of punt return bonus, but you're also relying on the fact that he's the wide receiver 3 on Las Vegas, which is not that exciting of a position to be in. For the Chargers, they have Darius Davis as their kick returner and punt returner. I predicted that in my episode back in April, but the big difference is that Ladd McConkey is listed as the backup kick returner and punt returner. That's something to watch out for, because especially I'm talking about having two kick returners back there, Ladd McConkey might be that second kick returner there as well. He might be able to snag himself a kick return or two per game. For the Giants, they had Gunnar Olszewski, if I'm even saying that right, get both the kick return and punt return jobs. So this is somebody that I had not called out. I'm not even sure he was signed to a team when I did my episode last April, but he has won the kick return and punt return job for the Giants. That is going to be really important, especially the kick return side, if you think the Giants are not going to have a good defense and that they're going to be giving up the ball a lot on their offense because they won't have many long drives. He'll probably be returning a lot. And that's somebody who might be able to give you some good points solely off of the kick return and punt return roles that he has. For the Eagles, their cornerback, Isaiah Rodgers, he won the kick return job. So if you have an IDP league that you get some kick return yardage, he might not be a bad person to target. And then they have Britton Covey as their punt returner. He doesn't really have much standalone wide receiver value, so that's essentially somebody that you don't care about too much. For the Commanders, they ended up going with Byron Pringle as their kick returner. So that's something to watch out for, especially with the fact that their wide receiver situation is a little up in the air after they traded away Jahan Dotson. He might sneak himself in there to somewhat of a role on the wide receiver side, and so if he does do that, he also has that kick return double. For the Bears, they have both Velus Jones Jr. and DeAndre Carter, where Velus Jones Jr. is the primary kick returner and DeAndre Carter is the second kick returner. And I think that means they're both going to be on the field at the same time. But for punt returner, DeAndre Carter is listed as the primary punt returner. So that is something to watch out for, especially also for Velus Jones Jr., because they have talked about in camp about him getting some carries out of the backfield, trying to get the ball into his hands in space. So he might have some extra value beyond just the kick returns. For the Lions, they have only listed Craig Reynolds at the kick return spot. Most teams are listing two, and so the fact that they've only listed Craig Reynolds makes me a little confused as to, okay, are they only going to put Craig Reynolds back there for the kick returns? Is there not going to be a second guy? If that's the case and Craig Reynolds is basically guaranteed to get every single kick return, that actually might make him a little bit more viable than a lot of these other kick returners who might be ceding one or two kick returns per game to their other kick return mate. For the Packers, they have done something interesting with their wide receiver position. So they did list starters. So they listed their starters at Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, and Romeo Doubs. However, Dontavian Wicks, somebody that's been talked about a lot, he is listed as the backup for Christian Watson. I know they've mentioned that, hey, they want to do a rotation of wide receivers, that there's going to be these four guys might be... they want to try and get them all on the field at the same time. But Dontavian Wicks listed as the backup here makes me think that that might not be 100% true, that they might have a preference for Watson, Reed, and Doubs, because some other teams, they put in two players as the starters, and the Packers did not go out of their way to do that. So they... In my mind, you have to choose somebody that would be the backup, and the fact that they chose Wicks, it makes me think that he's maybe not quite as strong as all these other guys. And especially seeing him behind Doubs, I feel like I see more people talking about Wicks than Doubs, so that's something to look out for as well, that maybe we have those values reversed in how we're valuing these players for the upcoming season. We also see Jaden Reed is the backup returner behind Keyshawn Nixon. So Keyshawn Nixon is their Pro Bowl returner from last year. He's a cornerback. If you had an IDP league with return yards, you already knew about that. But the fact that Jaden Reed is listed as the backup with him, that is something where I am somewhat intrigued, because he might get himself a kick return or two in a game just off of pure luck getting hit in his direction, that sort of thing. For the Vikings, my guy, Johnny Munt, he is listed as the backup at tight end. Josh Oliver is the starter. I personally think Munt is the receiver tight end. I think Oliver is the more blocking tight end. And last year, when we were looking at the week 17 and 18 games, it was the case where Josh Oliver was the starter, Munt was the backup. And in both of those games, Munt had a much better stat line than Josh Oliver. Munt was the one that was getting four receptions. Josh Oliver was the one that still only had one. I'm kind of looking at that like, I know Munt is the backup. I still think he's the receiving tight end that you want in Minnesota. For kickoffs, it's Ty Chandler, and their punt returner is Brandon Powell. Ty Chandler might have some value, the fact that he's that backup running back there in Minnesota and he's doing kick returns, but we kind of already knew that was going to be the case. For the Falcons, they did something interesting and they listed multiple tight ends starters. So unlike some teams where they put like two players into the same spot, they actually did two separate tight end lines. And so one of them has Kyle Pitts, and the other has Charlie Werner. Charlie Werner was somebody that in camp, he was getting a decent amount of hype, and also some hype as a receiving tight end. And so the fact that they went out of their way to add an extra tight end line and list him as the starter for that second one makes me think he's going to have a much larger role than we were expecting. That means potentially some bad things for the wide receiver three. Because if they're going to do a lot more two tight end sets, they're obviously they aren't going to be taking out Bijan Robinson in order to put in a wide receiver. So that means that if Kyle Pitts and Charlie Werner are on the field, that wide receiver three, who right now is Ray-Ray McCloud, is not going to be on the field as much. So then moving to that kick return and punt return role, Ray-Ray McCloud was my initial one of my two calls for being the kick returner and punt returner. And in this case, on the initial depth chart, Ray-Ray McCloud's not even listed. So instead, it's Avery Williams. He is the kick returner and punt returner. He had an ACL tear in August of last year. He seems to be fully recovered from that. So Avery Williams is the guy that you want in Atlanta if you can stomach having only kick return and punt return yards. He's not going to do very much on the offense. I think that they would start just about every other running back on their team and on their practice squad at the running back position over Avery Williams. Avery Williams is very much that return specialist kind of player. So the Panthers, they have a very interesting situation for week one that opens up some interesting opportunities, especially if you have best ball tight end leagues or if you are trying to play the tight ends don't matter strategy. So they, on their depth chart, did a similar thing to the Falcons. They have two tight end lines. The same thing with the Raiders as well. If you weren't aware, the Raiders, they had two tight end lines so that they could have Brock Bowers and they could have Michael Mayer. The Panthers do the same thing. And for one, they have Tommy Tremble as the starter. And for the other, they have Ian Thomas. However, right now, both Tremble and Thomas are struggling with injury. As of me recording this, I'm recording this on Thursday. Neither of them have practiced yet this week. They are both questionable for week one. And so that means that the only two tight ends on the team that are fully healthy are JT Sanders and Jordan Matthews. Yes, you are thinking correctly. Jordan Matthews, the former wide receiver that was on the Philadelphia Eagles, who then bounced around a couple teams, and you haven't heard anything from him since 2019. He has changed positions to tight end. He has come back. He has made the Carolina Panthers roster as a tight end. And the fact that they have two tight ends listed on their depth chart as their normal, like, default rollout makes me think that if Ian Thomas and Tommy Tremble are both unavailable, that we're going to be seeing a lot of JT Sanders and Jordan Matthews this game. The fact that Jordan Matthews has that wide receiver background means that he might be somebody that creates some matchup problems and potentially has a decent game. I don't think that he's going to be somebody you want long term, but if you need somebody to spot start here week one, he's not a bad choice. They have their kick returner and their punt returner listed as Raheem Blackshear this year as well on the Panthers, and that is not something I predicted. I thought he would only be the kick returner because he's not been the punt returner. But in this case, Raheem Blackshear has picked up the punt return role. He has played some running back in the past. I think that for now, he's probably not going to be. I think it's probably going to be Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders, but maybe Miles Sanders is worse than we thought, and Raheem Blackshear will get some snaps there as well. But I would view him as only a kick returner and punt returner for now. For the Saints, we have an interesting tight ends depth chart organization here. So they did another one of those, hey, they list two different tight ends in the starting lineup, and they have their starting tight ends is Foster Moreau and Taysom Hill. Juwan Johnson and Dallin Holker are both the backups. So Juwan Johnson behind Foster Moreau and Dallin Holker behind Taysom Hill. That makes me quite worried for Juwan Johnson in terms of what he's going to do this coming season. The fact that Foster Moreau is listed over him, and we know that Foster Moreau in the past has done some decent things at tight end when he was in Las Vegas. Or actually, before it was Las Vegas, it was still the Oakland Raiders at the time when they had Darren Waller. When Darren Waller was going through injury problems, Foster Moreau would have some decent weeks. And so that might be a case of, hey, Foster Moreau has beaten out Juwan Johnson, And Taysom Hill is still Taysom Hill. He's still going to do all of his crazy shenanigans. He's still going to be that gadget player that they want him to be. But he's also going to line up as a tight end periodically. And I think that this is kind of scary for Juwan Johnson. He might not have that ceiling we're expecting. We need to see whether this depth chart is how they actually go into the season. Also, that kick return and punt return, still Rashid Shaheed, if you were worried about that. He's listed there as their kick returner, punt returner. I bet you he's still going to be doing that role this coming season. For the Buccaneers, Bucky Irving did win the backup running back job. I know that there was, at least at the beginning of camp, a little bit of concern about that, but he is listed as the backup running back. And then they have two kick returners listed. The first one being Bucky Irving and the second one being Sean Tucker. So if Bucky Irving is the true backup running back, if he is the one coming in to spell Rashad White and he has the primary kick returner, that's something to look out for because he could have some interesting value in some of your leagues. For the Cardinals, Greg Dortch is listed as both the third wide receiver, so he's going to have a role in this offense, and he's listed as the kick returner and punt returner. They then put an or and DJ Dallas for kick returner and punt returner. So it looks like they're expecting that Greg Dortch and DJ Dallas might be swapping back and forth, potentially even during the game, depending on how they're feeling, depending on exactly what the game scenarios are. So Greg Dortch has a really high ceiling. Like, I'm very excited for the potential that he has in it as being both the kick returner, punt returner, and the third wide receiver. But we have to look and see how this split with DJ Dallas turns out, because we know that they are both good, both Dortch and Dallas. So we just kind of need to see the season, and that's something that I'm definitely going to be watching for. For the Rams, they ended up having their kick returner and punt returner be Tutu Atwell. So Tutu Atwell is not going to have as much of a role on the offense itself, but if you've got a kick returner and punt returner yardage that could be relevant if they have both roles, Tutu Atwell can definitely be relevant. For the Seahawks, this was a team that I said I was unsure exactly what was going to happen with this team, and now we have an answer. Laviska Shenault is going to be the primary kick returner, and then they have D. Williams being the punt returner. So unfortunately, it's a split with two players that are not going to have a role outside of being the kick returners and punt returners, so they aren't really that useful from a fantasy sense. For the New England Patriots, their depth chart has just two wide receivers. They've also done the two tight end thing that I've mentioned a couple other teams have done. So those two wide receivers are Kendrick Bourne and DeMario Douglas. So Jalen Polk and KJ Osborne are both listed as backups. And then those two tight end spots, they have made all three tight ends the starters there. So all of Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper, and Jaheim Bell are first string tight ends. I don't know how this is going to play out in terms of the actual usage rates, but they're showing us, okay, they're going to be going with more of a tight end heavy team, which makes sense with how bad their wide receivers are. But the fact that they have all three tight ends listed as tight end ones makes me think that they are really liking Jaheim Bell. Jaheim Bell was somebody that we were talking about at the beginning of camp. He was making some waves. Obviously, he was a really late draft pick, but the fact that he has been good enough to be listed in the first string tight ends along with Austin Hooper and Hunter Henry makes me think that they really like him and he might have a role. We just have to see how that actually fits in and whether that is something we care about in fantasy. For the Rams, Kyren Williams is the punt returner. That is what he's listed as. And I know there was a little bit of some people were getting scared about, oh, he's going to be the punt returner. He's not going to run the football as much. I think just the fact that Blake Corum was there meant that Kyren Williams wasn't going to run the football as much. But it's good to see that they still want to put the ball into his hands. And speaking of Blake Corum, Blake Corum is listed as the primary kick returner. So if he is, in fact, involved in this offense and he's the primary kick returner, that is a role that you might be very interested in your kick return leagues. He might actually have a higher ceiling than most other kick returners around the league. And then Jordan Whittington is that second kick returner, so if he ends up forming a role on this offense, he might also have a little bit of a kick return bump. For the San Francisco 49ers, a little bit of a tight end watch here, that Eric Saubert is listed as the tight end two, so he is the backup to George Kittle. When they released their initial 53-man roster, you had Jake Tongs is the only other tight end behind George Kittle. They ended up getting Eric Saubert as well, and already Saubert is listed as the tight end two of the depth chart. So for whatever reason, they decided to waive him and not Jake Tongs, and then they brought him back, and he is listed as the backup right now. So that is something you might want to watch out for and see where he might fit in some of your deeper tight end leagues. Also, since I did not know this in April, Isaac Garendo is going to be the kick returner, and Jacob Cowing is going to be the punt returner. I don't expect either of those guys to have a big role in the offense, so unfortunately this is one of those splits that we don't care as much about. And for the last team, we have the New York Jets. The only surprising thing to me on their depth chart was that Alan Lazard was listed as the wide receiver 3, that slot wide receiver. I thought that might be Xavier Gibson, but right now it is listed as Alan Lazard. Gibson is still the kick returner and punt returner, and he is the backup to Alan Lazard, but he may not have as much of a role in the offense as we were necessarily hoping to have that kind of ceiling that we were looking for. That's everything for all your week 1 depth charts. I hope that you liked listening to that. I'm definitely going to be going through a lot of snap rates and things like that over the course of the season and trying to identify what teams are doing, how can we predict which players are going to have those kinds of breakout weeks that are kind of towards the bottoms of various rosters. So to end off the episode, I'm going to go into the tight ends don't matter segment. So as I mentioned all the way back in episode 2, I like to play this tight ends don't matter strategy. And this tight ends don't matter strategy involves me choosing a player every single week that is outside of being rostered by most teams. I'm going to go through the data of how I came up with this number next week, as long as there isn't too much to cover. And my number for the moment is 52. So any tight ends that I am going to be talking about for this week is rostered outside of the top 52 tight ends in Dynasty Fantasy Leagues. So the first tight end that I'm going to talk about is Johnny Munt. If you've been listening to me since even November of last year, like I had even said at that point, like there's no way Josh Oliver is going to be the pass catcher for Minnesota. So it's going to be Johnny Munt because he's the only other guy there. Well, sure enough, we get around to TJ Hockenson. He tears his ACL. He's going to be out. I picked up Johnny Munt. I won a couple championships off of him. We're getting back to the beginning of the season. Johnny Munt is still outside of the top 52. I have him as the 54th tight end. So he's barely outside of that range. And so Johnny Munt is my primary choice for tight ends don't matter this week. So when I'm going through my tight ends don't matter review, I'm going to treat it like Johnny Munt was my starting tight end. I'm going to use whatever points for him. The other honorable mentions, guys that maybe Johnny Munt is not available in your league because I'm in that league and you're looking for somebody else, or just somebody else is onto this sort of train that I'm on. The next couple guys are Charlie Werner. I talked about him as being that starting tight end. He had a little bit of camp hype. That would be my number two. My number three is Foster Moreau because of that starting tight end over Juwan Johnson potential. And then also the fact that Juwan Johnson's he should be ready to go for week 1, but he is still coming off of that injury, so they might take it a little slow. And then if you need somebody that is a really deep dive, I would potentially look at Jordan Matthews. This is more of a, hey, if Ian Thomas and Tommy Tremble don't play, you can get Jordan Matthews. I just see that there is some opportunity there. I don't know whether it'll work out, but if you're having to dig that far deep, you probably are looking for something that has some amount of upside, and you aren't too worried if that ends up actually being a zero. So that's everything I have for you this week. I'll be back next week with talking about what we've learned from week one, how we're going to try and push that forward towards the rest of the season. And I will talk about some of those numbers. Where is that 52 coming from? As always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.